Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. After Jesus had spoken, a Pharisee invited him to dine at his home. He entered and reclined at table to eat. The Pharisee was amazed to see that he did not observe the prescribed washing before the meal. The Lord said to him, "Oh, you Pharisees! Although you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, inside you're filled with plunder and evil. You fools! Did not the maker of the outside also make the inside? But as to what is within, give alms, and behold, everything will be clean for you." The Gospel of the Lord. I am not ashamed of the Gospel. Those words of St. Paul came from someone who easily could have been ashamed for the Gospel. After all, he had been in prison multiple times. He received 39 scourges on 5 separate occasions. 3 times he had been beaten with rods until all his flesh was totally raw. 3 times he was shipwrecked. Once he was stoned and left for dead. He was persecuted on oceans and down rivers, persecuted on land and up mountains and into valleys. If anyone had a reason to be ashamed of the gospel, it was he. But he wasn't. We've got so much to learn about that for our own living well of the year of faith. Because many times we Catholics are pressured by our culture to be ashamed of the gospel, to be embarrassed, to treat the good news as bad news, to treat the truth that sets us free as some type of straitjacket that will suck the love and the life right out of us. After all, the world says we're cuckoo. We actually believe that what's going to come down on this altar and the appearance of bread and wine is the creator of the universe. We actually believe that the Pope is infallible. Can't make a mistake once, ever, until the end of time on something we have to believe or do to please God and enter His life. That God has actually invested a human being with this divine power. The world thinks that that's absurd. We all make mistakes. Even the smartest people make mistakes, right? We believe that as much as the Church says that men and women are of total equal dignity before God, that only men can be ordained priests. The world calls that misogynist. We believe that even a woman who has suffered the terrible evil of rape or incest still doesn't have the ability to take that evil out on the baby growing within her. We believe that even though surveys will show that 95% of women and couples contracept over the course of their marriage, that it's still wrong. We believe that even though Jesus died for every single person with same-sex attractions, that same-sex sexual activity and same-sex marriage are wrong. We believe, because Jesus taught us, that the real path to happiness is not through riches, but spiritual poverty. It's not through praise, but persecution. It's not through having all our sexual fantasies fulfilled, but through purity of heart. It's not through power and finishing off enemies, but through meekness and peacemaking. We believe that if somebody wrongs us once, we forgive. If somebody wrongs us a second time, we forgive. If somebody wrongs us a third time, we forgive. If somebody wrongs us a 300th time, we still forgive. I could enumerate lots of other teachings that the world finds totally absurd. And on some of these more controversial areas of our faith, there are many Catholics who unfortunately are ashamed of the gospel. But St. Paul wants to help us to become truly proud of the gospel. Today, we celebrate one of the greatest saints who ever lived, St. Teresa of Avila, who lived between 1515 and 1582. When she entered the Carmelites were basically a female social club that did a little prayer. Lived in big monasteries. She had a huge personality. She saw more people coming to visit her and chit-chat when she was in the convent than when she was at home. But eventually the Lord touched her a little bit later on in life. Wasn't immediately at the beginning. She had the holy desires at the beginning. But then she became basically worldly, even though she was in a Carmelite habit. But the Lord touched her. She started to change. She recognized that to be a Carmelite, to be a woman religious, to be a Christian, was a call to perfection. Not perfectionism. But God calls us to be like Him. And if He calls us, He's going to give us the help. It's not going to be through our efforts, it's going to be through our cooperation with His efforts. But she started to bring about that reform within the Carmelites. And she was opposed in many places because people liked that worldly way of living, where they said a few of their prayers, but they weren't really called to spiritual heroism. And that's what she recognized that the Lord was calling her to. And she was not going to be ashamed of that gospel. In the opening prayer today, we prayed that we might be nourished by Saint Teresa, whom God raised up to show the entire church the way of perfection, and that we might be fired up with her zeal for holiness. That was a gift God had given her very early in life, just like He gives it to us. But a lot of the times we wrap it in asbestos. When she was 7, I think it's one of the greatest stories in all of hagiography, all the writings of the saints. She was 7 and her younger brother Rodrigo was 5. They were in the backyard. Rodrigo asked his big, smart older sister, "How can we get to heaven fastest?" She says, "Well, the way we get to heaven fastest is you have to be a martyr." "What's a martyr?" "Somebody who dies for the faith." "Where can we become martyrs?" "Well, we have to go to Morocco, because in Morocco they're killing Christians." "Where's Morocco?" She says, "It's south." He says, "Let's go." They didn't realize that there was the Mediterranean Sea in between the Iberian Peninsula and North Africa. But off they went, saying as they went, "Para siempre, per siempre, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever." She had a great desire for heaven, a great desire for God, a great desire for the holiness to lead her to heaven. She was willing to be martyred as a little girl, tortured as a little girl, in order to be able to get there as quickly as possible. The end of the story is her uncle was coming back from a hunt, saw his niece and nephew about 12 kilometers south of Avila and said, "Where are you going?" Little Rodrigo said, "We're going to Morocco to be martyred so that we can go to heaven and live forever and ever and ever." And the uncle very wisely said, "Well, it's going to take you a long time to walk there. Why don't you get up on my horse and I'll get you there faster?" And he, of course, brought them home. But that little desire eventually was rekindled. Likewise, the desires that the Lord planted in us once upon a time. Maybe it was around our first communion. Maybe it was when we were first learning how to pray. Maybe it was when our parents or godparents read to us some of the stories of the saints or the great figures in the gospel. We had a desire really to give our whole life to God. The Lord wants to rekindle that fire. He wants to nourish us with the example of Saint Teresa. He wants us to really follow her along this way of perfection. Today at the end of the gospel, after Jesus exposes the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, who are outside very religious but on the inside full of filth, he gave us the cure. A lot of the times people are surprised by the cure. He says, but as to what is within, if you wish to clean it, give alms, and behold, everything will be clean to you. That doesn't mean that if you send a quarter in to the propagation of the faith, everything's clean. Doesn't even mean if you send a quarter of $1 million to a good cause, everything's clean. But what Jesus is describing is the way to clean ourselves on the inside is to live a truly Eucharistic life. To give of ourselves, to say, this is my body given for you. This is my blood given for you. This is my sweat. This is all I am. When we learn from Jesus how to empty ourselves, it's then that he's able to come in and fully cleanse us. That's the road to perfection. Loving God with all we've got and loving our neighbor like Jesus loves us. This is the path that St. Teresa took. This is the path to which she points us. May we not be ashamed of this call to greatness, but embrace the gospel as the good news it truly is, and bring it with joy out to a world desperate for it. Praise be Jesus Christ.